Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful tonight for this day and for your continued blessings upon us. Lord, we are thankful that so much happening in our world today, your word is still available to us to be the light that we need to guide us into a relationship with you. We pray, Lord, that we see the love you showed for us through your son Jesus and his great sacrifice on the cross. Lord, may we never trample a foot upon your son's great sacrifice. Pray, Lord, that we don't put him to an open shame. Pray, Lord, that we don't regard his precious blood as some unseemly thing that he gave for us. Lord, we ask that you teach us to love you. Teach us to have more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We ask this prayer in your son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flounder. We are very grateful to have you working with me. We appreciate you so very much for what you're doing there in your congregation there in West Texas as well. We appreciate all those who are on the call listening to us tonight, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. We pray now you open your Bible and take notes of the things to be said tonight that pertain to your soul, salvation. The speaker tonight in the person of Brother Tony Cloud serves as the minister of the Church of Christ in Anchorage, Alaska. He has served as minister of the Lord's Church over 28 years, 20 years in Alaska. Before Alaska, he served in northern Nevada. So we are so thankful that he's accepted our invitation tonight to come. We really want to know more about this Philippian jailer. We ask you, Brother Cloud, tell us about those who have not read about the Philippian jailer. Tell us about him, Brother Cloud.
Thank you, Brother Brooks, for this opportunity and to your team and the High Lights congregation for the opportunity to bring the message of God in this gospel meeting. I thank you for your generosity and kindness. The Anchorage Church of Christ sends you with greetings. And tonight, we want to discuss a topic that comes to you in the form of a question. We're thankful you're here tonight. Have you not read about how the Philippian jailer was saved? That, my friends, is a very important question because we're talking about salvation. The account of the jailer is found in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. And so I ask that you will turn there and follow along as we continue in this lesson. Salvation is one of the most debated and misunderstood topics in the world of religion. You see, Satan knows that if you do not get the right message, you can never be saved. God wants you to hear the right message, but Satan does not. The Lord, in his inspired word, has with clarity given us the message of salvation. But here's what you have to do. You just have to read, and keep on reading. And while you read the Word of God, open your heart and allow God's Word to sink deep within. So listen to Acts 16 and verse 17 to start our lesson tonight. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you," listen, "the way of salvation." We'll get the context in a moment, but I want you to understand that the Apostle Paul and his companions were proclaiming the way of salvation. Well, how many ways are there to be saved? And how can a man be saved? Friends, that answer can only be found in the Word of God. Acts 4 and verse 12 says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." But Satan wants to make one philosophy or doctrine seem as good as the rest. Satan's trick is to make everything look and sound like it comes from God. Satan imitates everything that God has. But we know Satan is a liar and the father of lies. He tricked Eve. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3 says, "But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your mind should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." It is our prayer tonight that the eyes of a multitude will be opened to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. But Satan desires to blind us. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, "In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of glory, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Brethren, friends, Always listen to God before you ever listen to any man. And prove all things with the scriptures. Regarding salvation, there are doctrines believed by religious people that are not even found written in the Bible. In other words, there's no book, there's no chapter, and there's no verse. Like the sinner's prayer, or the thought of an outward sign of an inward grace, or asking Jesus into your heart, or faith alone, or belief alone. And salvation can be found in no one else but Jesus. Yet people in the religious world today are claiming to be saved by Buddhism and Mohammedism and astrology and astronomy and Mormonism and Catholicism and denominationalism. But salvation cannot be found in anyone else, only in Jesus. Back to verse 17 of Acts 16. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." Let's get some context. It is the year A.D. 51. Timothy and Silas joined the Apostle Paul and Luke on the second missionary journey. And together they will travel sharing the glorious gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And on their journey, they traveled through Derbe, Lystra, Phrygia, Galatia, Mysia, and Troas. And they were guided by the Holy Spirit. And when they arrived at Troas, something really strange happened. Acts 16 and verse 6. They passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. They were in Philippi on the Sabbath day and began to preach. Why did the Holy Spirit direct Paul and his companions to Philippi? Well, it's found in the scripture. In verse 9, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." So the Macedonians were pleading to God for help. But what kind of help? What exactly were they asking for? Verse 10, when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, when you preach the gospel message of Jesus to open hearts, people respond by doing something. So as they preach the gospel, listen to verse 14. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she had, in her household, had been baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay," as he prevailed upon us. Someone said, it is not essential to be baptized into Jesus. That baptism is not essential. If that is the case, why then were she and her household baptized? Why does the Bible say in verse 17, following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." And we just read that that way of salvation included baptism. You cannot have salvation without being baptized into Christ. You cannot be baptized into Christ without hearing and believing the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And that is why Lydia and her household were baptized. Well, how did Paul end up in the custody of the Philippian jailer? A woman possessed by a demon began pestering them, and Paul cast the demon out of her. Verse 16. And it happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her master much profit by fortune telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bond servants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." She continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out at that very moment. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. So after casting the demon out, Paul and Silas are beaten and thrown into prison. Look down at verse 22. The crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. And when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, while in prison, look at verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer awoke and saw the prisoners' doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And he called for light and rushed in and trembled with fear and fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That is the most important question that you can ever ask in your life. What must I do to be saved? So how then was the Philippian jailer saved? Well, first let me talk to you about this. You begin your teaching wherever a person's walk of faith is. Lydia was a believer and a worshiper of God. When you go back and look at verse 13, on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, the text goes on, she only needed to repent, she and her household, confess and be baptized, because she already was a worshiper, a believer in Jesus. She'd already heard, but she needed a little more information, and she believed in God. The jailer, on the other hand, is a non-believer. So he has to be taught the message of Jesus. He has to be taught who this Jesus is. Down to verse 30. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Well, the first thing is you got to hear about Jesus Christ. Then you have to believe in the Lord Jesus. Listen to verse 31. They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." But how can one believe in Jesus whom he knows nothing about? And that's why verse 32 is so critical. Before we go there, you must understand the scriptures teach in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so the apostle Paul and Silas will teach them the gospel for the purpose of producing faith. Verse 32, and they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. After hearing and believing, that produces something in our hearts. Repentance. One must decide what they're going to do about the message of the gospel. You see, you have the choice to accept it or reject it. But when you accept it, a change of heart must follow. You hear the word of God. You believe the word of God. And because you believe in God, you begin to change in your mind. You change your attitude about sin. Well, watch this being manifested in the life of the Philippian jailer. Look at verse 33. And he took them that very hour of the night, after he heard the message, and washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. You see, the message of God softened his heart. The message of God taught him of the Savior. It transformed a portion of his mind. And when someone says that baptism is not essential to salvation, how then would they answer these simple contextual questions? If one only has to believe, why does the text even mention baptism? Number two, what is the urgency? I mean, couldn't they wait until the next day, the next week, the next month? The text says, immediately he was baptized. Now, I want to refresh your memory for just a moment, back in verse 25, as to what time it is. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Brothers, it is late in the early morning. It's after midnight. Next thought, when did the joy come? When did the joy come? You see, when he believed, meaning when he obeyed God's message, when he was baptized, when he surrendered to Jesus, when a believer has done what the Lord commands regarding salvation, belief, repentance, confession, and baptism, which puts you into Christ, that is when the joy comes. Look back at verse 33. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. And he brought them into his house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his household, the whole household. Here's the connection, and this is important. Lydia and the jailer were given different answers, but the same message. Why? Because they were in two different places on the road to salvation. In Acts 16, verse 13 and verse 14, listen again to what it says. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside where we were supposing that we would be at a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. What were they doing? They were praying to God. The jailer wouldn't have prayed to the one true God. He would have prayed to the gods of the land, to the Greek gods. Verse 14, a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God. She was a worshiper of the one true God. She listened and heard the message, and God opened her heart. Lydia and her household were worshipers and believers. The jailer and his household at first did not believe in Jesus, so they were told to believe, and then were further taught and baptized. in verse 31 again, they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized, he and all of his household. The gospel message led them to belief, repentance, and baptism. Each teaching is correct and followed the simple steps of salvation. And this is important. You cannot be taught wrong and baptized right. The Bible makes it clear that in order for a person to become a child of God, a Christian, to be saved, like the jailer, like Lydia, like every other Christian, every person in the Bible and outside the Word of God in the Christian dispensation, they must first hear the Word of God, believe the Word of God, repent of their sins, confess His name, and be baptized. That is what Paul was proclaiming. That was the simple message of the gospel of grace, that everyone can be saved. That is what was being proclaimed by the woman who was possessed in verse 17. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, these men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. Let me give you an example of the same message being taught to Lydia and the jailer. A man asks, how far is the next town? They answer, 30 miles, sir. He drives 10 miles and asks the same question, to which he is told, 20 miles, sir. He drives another 10 miles and asks the same question and is told, 10 miles, sir. Three different answers from three different locations, and yet every answer was correct. Are you a believer? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? And that means you've got to repent, confess, and be baptized. Do you not know who Jesus is? Then you have to hear the message and then believe the message. Repent, confess, and be baptized. Brethren and friends, this is how the Philippian jailer was saved. Wherever you are in your understanding and knowledge of the scripture, that will be the determining factor as to where Christians will leave and begin your Bible study. In order to become a Christian like every other child of God in the Christian dispensation, in the Bible, not in the Bible, to this very day, you have to be baptized into Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There's no other way found in the scripture, and there's no other way today. And why would your salvation be any different from anyone else in the Bible? You start wherever a person is. Now look, I know yesterday you looked at Acts chapter 2. I want to look at it again, real, just for a moment, Acts 2 and verse 36. And I want to give you, I want to just show you this so you understand how you can have the message, whether you are a believer right now or you don't know about Jesus and what needs to be done. Acts 2 and verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. I want you to see something, that even though they had hearts of repentance, and even though they were willing to confess that Jesus was the Christ, they weren't saved yet. Because Peter says to them in verse 40, with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved. So belief won't save you. Just hearing alone won't save you. Just repenting alone won't save you. making the confession won't save you. He kept on preaching to them, and he said, be saved from this perverse generation. Verse 41, here's the wall. So then, those who had received his word and were baptized, and that day were added about 3,000 souls. Tonight, the question is, where are you on your journey in faith? Tonight, do you believe in Jesus? Are you willing to repent, to turn your life around, to make the confession that Jesus Christ is the Lord, the Son of the living God? Listen to what the Bible says. Hear the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. You must believe. John 8:24. Jesus says, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. But you can't stop there. You got to repent, have godly sorrow in your heart. Acts 17:30, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent. But that won't save you. You have to keep going. Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33, therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father. But you can't stop there. You have to keep going. Like I said, you got to keep reading. Mark 16:16. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. But he who disbelieves shall be condemned. And finally, why get baptized tonight? Verse 38. Peter said to them, repent, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? For the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God will add you to the Church of Christ if you will surrender your heart to him tonight in humility. Be baptized into Jesus Christ. We invite you to be saved like the Philippian jailer was saved. God bless you, and thank you for your time, Brother Brooks.
We appreciate you so very much. Certainly the message is exactly what I wanted you to do with it, and that is tell people what to do to be saved. You've done that multiple times during this message. If you're on the call tonight, Brother Cloud has done an excellent job of providing you the basic truths of saving your soul. If you're on the call and you're a member of the Church of Christ, we pray that you will get back with the person who put you on this call and tell them you want to be saved like the Philippian jailer. You want to be saved like those who became Christians in the Bible. They did the same thing. None of the things you hear today, as he said, they heard, believed, repented, confessed, and were baptized and added to the one true church, the Church of Christ. We want you to be a member of the Church of Christ tonight. And we put this call on with you in mind, and we want you to know that you need to know this basic truth that comes from the Bible. And so if you want to be baptized, get back with the person who put you on the call, or you can email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will make the arrangement for you, no matter where you are. We will make the arrangement, get you to a Church of Christ preacher, and they will baptize you wherever you are. Or if you want to more study, you want to learn more, you got questions, you can email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com, and we make sure those questions get answered. Or if you want to go back and listen to our messages, it's recorded. We recorded Brother Cloud tonight, as well as all the other preachers we've had since the month of May. It's on our website at hollandheightscoc.net. That's hollandheightscoc.net. And you go on there, and all those messages are there. Just click on the sermon tab, and you'll find the Nationwide Gospel Meeting call, and the flyers are there. You can download those. You can download the sermons. They're all free. And we're so thankful that we're able to provide those to you. To our brothers and sisters in Christ, you too can share these flyers with others that you want to hear the truth. You can see we're bringing on some powerful, powerful preachers through our program. So let's pray to God about it. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings of life, and thank you for this day you've given us. We love you for loving us, and we love your Son for giving his life. He was he who said, greater love and no man than this, that he laid down his life. And we're so thankful he laid down his life. Thank you for the book called the Bible, your scriptures, the word of God, your word that you gave us. And we can read it. As long as we read it, We have to stop in hearing or believing or repenting. We stop at confession. We know we got to do all those things right up to baptism and then being added to the one true church, your son's church. And your son's church identifies itself by the owner, which is Christ, the Church of Christ. And so we thank you, Father, for loving us. And we thank you for our listening audience. We pray your blessings upon each of them, especially those who are not saved, that they will receive with meekness tonight your engrafted word, understanding that it's able to save their souls. Thank you for Brother Cloud. Bless his ministry, bless his family, and bless him as your manservant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to thank everybody for calling in tonight. We are so excited about the messages that are coming this week. All messages about salvation tomorrow night. I saw it was saved by Brother Don Blackwell Thursday night. Cliff Goodwin, we bring the message of how the eunuch was saved, and it closes out. My friend and Brother Gary Collin, Tennessee. Sometimes you get the wrong baptism. There were disciples in the Bible. We had to have a second one. When you think about it, can't be taught wrong and baptized right. That's what Brother Cloud told us tonight. Brother Collin will do a good job explaining that even more in detail. We love you all. And we pray God's blessing upon you and your family. I hope you're going to have a good night rest. It's hard to rest when you're not saved, though. Consider salvation. Save them your soul. May God bless you. Good night.